Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. It's been chilly out there this week. It's been in the 30s ever since Wednesday night. Winter came in. It just came right in, and the wind came up. And Wednesday night, the cable was clanging against the flagpole up at the school. It was like an alarm going off. And in the morning, Thursday morning, this dark cloud came in from the west, and then it started to snow, and the moment it snowed, the patrons in the Chatterbox Cafe looked out the window and saw the snow, and they had ordered non-fat yogurt and cornflakes, but they changed their order, and they ordered a tall stack with sausage on the side and two eggs over easy, and that's the breakfast for winter, a nutritious breakfast. Some people stepped outside, and they took pictures of the snow with their cell phones, and they sent them off to their friends in Florida and Arizona, knowing how happy it would make them. And by Thursday evening, the snow was pretty much gone, and we're not sure we will have snow for Thanksgiving or not. Pastor Kohler is packing up. He said he was going to leave, and he'll be replaced by an interim, I guess, after Thanksgiving. He preached this long, grim sermon this last week about the troubles of the world. Last week or so was dreadful, preaching that the end may be near and we should all be watchful, preaching that it showed that man's capacity for evil and violence is endless and man's capacity for good is very slight indeed. People came away from it depressed. We wish he would leave as soon as possible. He used the word behooves 6 times. People count this thing. We wish that Pastor Liz would come back or somebody hopeful. Search committee is on the job, so expect there will be news about that soon. Some people are wishing for snow for Thanksgiving. Really, they wish there would be about 50 inches or so that the roads would close for several days and cancel all of your plans. Down in the Sun Belt, the weather seldom gets in your way, you know, gives you any excuse. You can't wake up one morning and say the sun is too bright to drive. So every blizzard, though, that hits the north, there are thousands of people whom it makes very, very happy. They're grateful for this interruption. It's not that we don't love each other. We do. It's that we love each other so much, we expect too much of each other. And it just is not going to happen in Lake Wobegon for Thanksgiving for your big family meal. It's just not going to be a big emotional thing. We're not that sort of people. That was years ago, if ever. It's all over now. Holiday dinners are very seldom dramatic in Lake Wobegon because we avoid confrontation at all costs. We believe in being polite and making no demands and just assuming other people will be reasonable. And when we see that we are dealing with cretins, we say, fine, whatever, you know, whatever you want. That's our way. The Bunsen's cousin came for Thanksgiving last year with a dog who was nothing but a nuisance, and she would not lock the dog up, and the dog kept eating food off the counter, and then suddenly the grape, raisin, apple, and macadamia nut salad was missing, and somebody remembered that grapes and raisins and macadamia nuts are very hard on dogs and can cause renal failure, and so a bunch of them packed into a van and they drove into St. Cloud with the dog, who did appear to be ill. And the dog was taken in by the vet and was fed salt so that he would puke. And he puked and he puked. But no raisins or grapes or macadamia nuts came up, just dog food. And then the cousin said, oh, she said, oh, I forgot. I put the salad in the refrigerator in the basement. So there it was. She was happy that the dog had survived, of course, but you would think she could have apologized. No. And when they got back to the house, then they discovered that a porcupine had eaten the turkey who somebody had put in a plywood crate out in back, and the porcupine had eaten the plywood as well. And so they had tater tot hot dish as the main course for Thanksgiving that year. She will not be invited back, I can assure you, but that's about all we have by way of drama. We used to have more back in the day when there were all of these queen mothers ruling the households, all these dowager saints, these living martyrs who exerted a powerful gravitational force on their children so that even if a child moved far away, that child would never call up and say, "We can't make it for Thanksgiving," because the queen mother would say, "Well, that you just do exactly as you think best, and you just do what you want to do. I don't want to be with people who feel forced to enjoy my company for Thanksgiving. And I would rather spend Thanksgiving all by myself and eating a frozen TV dinner than be at a table with food I have worked so hard to fix with people who don't want to be with me. I will spend it all by myself next year when I sell the house and I move into the Good Shepherd home. And rather than force my children to drive so far so their families can be with Grandma, I'll just go to the home, and if any of you want to come and see me, that's entirely up to you, but don't assume that I will be there." And so they kept coming year after year to Thanksgiving. And there were women who grew to maturity without ever having made a turkey, because at the Queen Mother's they were not allowed to touch food because they were only daughters-in-law. They might be allowed to mash potatoes under close supervision, but they couldn't do anything else. And if they brought a pie, she would look at it with great interest, and she would say, "Well, I never saw a crust like that. It's very interesting." And they went outdoors and they sobbed out behind the garage. And the dinner, of course, was the dinner of all time. She had made this all herself. Everything was perfect. She never ate a bite. She circulated serving people, waiting on people, and gently she was disparaging her own cooking, and everything was not quite as it should be. And people sat there and ate it in sheer bliss. But now these queen mothers, they are all gone, and now their children go to restaurants for Thanksgiving. Or they stay home and they have dinner in bed. They have Chinese barbecue and sushi rolls that have been delivered to them in little white cardboard boxes. And they lie there and they watch the movie Lassie Brings the Pie on TV every year at this time. The family has gone away for Thanksgiving, and the faithful old dog discovers a pumpkin pie that's sitting there on the back step in a carton with string tied around it. And the dog picks up the box by the string and carries it 1,000 miles across wilderness and through a blizzard and over the great plains and through the mountains and over swinging bridges, over narrow canyons, and fights off cougars and finally all the way out to this little town in Oregon. Too late for Thanksgiving, but in time for Christmas. And the windows are all brightly lit and the family is in there, and the dog brings the pie up and sets it down on the step and reaches up with one paw and rings the doorbell. It's a beautiful... It's a beautiful movie. Even if you've seen it many times, you still burst into tears when you see it. My mother was not a queen mother. She loved to be surrounded by family, and she invited orphans and strangers to our table, because it's in that way that you hear other stories than your old family stories. That's one good reason to be with strangers, you see. It's not only for the moral imperative, it's also to hear somebody else's story that you've never heard before. Mr. Rosing came, who was janitor at school. He had no immediate family, and he was invited to our house for Thanksgiving, though he smelled of cigar smoke and bourbon, but he was nonetheless welcome to the table. And he told us about the time that he went deer hunting, and he sat with his back against a tree and the rifle there between his knees. And he had set out on a tree stump for deer bait. He had set out a Tupperware dish with raspberry jello, with sliced bananas and mandarin oranges and crushed walnuts and miniature marshmallows and Miracle Whip on top, which deers dearly love. And a doe came walking up and the path and did not see him, and she sniffed this jello and she licked the Miracle Whip off, but evidently she didn't care for raspberry. And now she was so close to him that he could almost reach out and touch her. And then he sneezed and she leaped over him in one bound, and his rifle went off and feathers came falling down on his head. He had shot a chickadee. And he was so troubled by this. He walked through the woods and down to the river. And there at the river, there was a cliff, an embankment, a stone embankment. And there was a cave that went way back in. And there was a dim light back there. And he could see deer, male deer, with great antlers who were huddled over a table. And there was a map on the table. And they were making X's and O's on it. And there was a squirrel who had a headset on. And the squirrel was getting instructions from them. He snuck back out of this cave. And there on the path, he met a squirrel, a black squirrel with a white stripe down its back. And it had a wire and a little earpiece in its ear, and someone was talking to it, and it raised its tail, and it gave him a powerful spray of odor so strong that he dropped his rifle and he stripped off his clothes. He could not see anything, and he ran blinded through the woods, bumping into trees. He heard a highway up ahead, and he went out by the road, and he stood there blind and naked and smelling terrible. He just waited by the side of the road with his thumb out, and a pickup truck pulled up alongside, and the man said, "Get in back," and he got in back. There was a dog in back, and he could feel the dog shrink away from him. And he rode into town in the back of that pickup truck, feeling horrible. But at the end of the ride, there was a woman with a blanket and a garden hose, and she sprayed him, and she gave him soap, and he washed and rinsed and washed and rinsed. And then there was a sip of bourbon, and gradually things started to get better. And this is where you discover the meaning of Thanksgiving, is when you've been blind and you smell bad and you are naked. That's as far down as you need to go to get the meaning of Thanksgiving. There were 10 lepers who came to Jesus, and he cured them all, and they were so happy to have their health restored, they all ran off except for one who turned around and said thank you. One remembered to go back and say thank you to the Lord, and that's the spirit of Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.